the 15th Sunday of Ordinary Time, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs, giving them authority over the unclean spirits. And he instructed them to take nothing for the journey, except a staff, no bread, no haversack, no coins for their purses. They were to wear sandals, but he added, "Do not take a spare tunic." And he said to them, "If you enter a house anywhere, stay there until you leave the district. And if any place does not welcome you, and the people refuse to listen to you, as you walk away, shake off the dust from under your feet as a sign to them." So they set off to preach repentance, and they cast out many devils, and anointed many sick people with oil, and cured them.
It is a hot, sultry night in Capernaum. Jesus leads his newly chosen apostles into a hillock within an olive grove just behind the village, where he stops and says to them, "Let us sit down and pay attention to me. The hour of evangelization has come. I'm about halfway through my public life, preparing hearts for my kingdom. It is now time that my apostles also take part in the preparation of this kingdom. That is what kings do when they decide to conquer a kingdom. First, they make investigations and approach people to find out their reaction and to win them to the plan they are pursuing. Later, they enlarge their preparatory work by means of reliable messengers sent to the country to be conquered. And they send more and more of them until all the geographical and moral details of the whole country are known. After that, the king completes his work by proclaiming himself king of that country and being crowned as such. And much blood is shed to achieve that, because victories always cost blood. We're ready to fight for you and shed our blood," promised the apostles in unity. Jesus looks at his 12 apostles one by one. He smiles and continues. "So I have decided to send you so that you may penetrate further ahead and more widely than I can do by myself. But for prudent reasons, I will ensure that there is a difference between your way of evangelizing and mine, because I do not want to put you in situations that are too difficult and which could be seriously dangerous for your souls and bodies, and also because I do not wish to jeopardize my own work. So, when you go about preaching me, don't go among Gentiles and don't enter the towns of Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There is so much to be done amongst them, because I solemnly tell you that the crowds that you think are so numerous around me are the hundredth part of those who are still waiting for the Messiah in Israel. And they do not know him, neither do they know that he is living amongst them. Take to them faith in me and the knowledge of me. On your way, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is near.' Let that be your basic announcement supporting all your preaching. But man, to be attracted by and convinced of spiritual truth, needs material kindness. In order to let you have the means to be believed and sought after, I will grant you the gift of working miracles." The apostles jumped to their feet with very mixed reactions. "Silence," orders Jesus, and he continues. "There is one thing that is even greater than miracles. It equally convinces the crowds, but more deeply and durably, a holy life. You are far from that, and you, Judas, are further than the rest. But let me speak, because my instruction is a long one. Go, therefore, curing sick people, cleansing lepers, and raising bodies and spirits from the dead. Because bodies and spirits can be sick, leprous, and dead as well. You are already aware how a miracle is worked, through a life of penance, fervent prayer, sincere desire to glorify the power of God, deep humility, living charity, burning faith, and hope that no kind of difficulty can upset. I solemnly tell you that everything is possible to those who have such virtues. Demons also will flee before the name of the Lord pronounced by you, if you have within you what I said. That power is given to you by me and by our Father. No money can buy it. Only our will grants it, and only a just life keeps it. As it is given to you gratuitously, so give it to others gratuitously, to the needy. Woe betide you if you depreciate the gift of God by using it to fatten your purse. It is not your power, it is the power of God. As it is given to you, so it can be taken away from you. To say, I do what God does because I am like God, is to imitate Lucifer, and his punishment is well known. Equally known is what happened to the two who, in the earthly paradise, ate the forbidden fruit. The only fruit you are allowed to take from what you do are the souls, whom you will conquer for the Lord by means of the miracle, and who are to be given to the Lord. That is your money, nothing else. You will enjoy your treasure in the next life. Go without riches. Do not take with you gold or silver, or money in your purses, or travelling bag with two or more tunics, or spare shoes, or pilgrim staff, or weapons. Because for the time being, your apostolic visits will be short ones. Every Sabbath eve we shall meet, and you will be able to change your sweated garments without having to take spare ones with you. No staff is required, because it is more pleasant to walk without, and what is useful on hills and plains is different from what is useful in deserts and on high mountains. No weapon is needed. Weapons are useful to men who do not know what is holy poverty and divine forgiveness. You have no treasures to protect and defend from robbers. The only robber you must fear is Satan, and he is defeated by perseverance and prayer, not by swords and daggers. Forgive those who offend you. If anyone should rob you of your mantle, give him also your tunic. You would therefore be better dressed than a king, not with corruptible clothes, but with imperishable material. Do not worry about your food. You will always have what is appropriate for your condition and your ministry, because a worker is always worthy of the food that is offered to him. And if men should not provide for the worker, God will. I have already proved to you that to live and preach, it is not necessary to have your stomach full of food. But you must fatten your souls, and the souls of other people, with the food of wisdom. You have never been so eloquent as after the retreat on the mountain, where Jesus had appointed them as apostles. Then you ate only what was necessary to survive, And yet, at the end of the retreat, you were as strong and cheerful as you had never been before. Is that not true? Whatever town or place you enter, find out who is deserving of receiving you. And whenever possible, give your preference to the hospitality of the poor. I tell you because it is better to do so. Do this so as not to mortify them and in memory of me. Because I am and will remain poor, and I boast of being poor. And also because very often the poor are better than the rich. When entering a house, greet its inhabitants with my salutation, which is the kindest there is. Say, peace be with you. Let peace be in this house. Or, let peace come to this house. In fact, as messengers of Jesus and of the gospel, you take peace with you, and your going to a certain place is to make peace come to it. If the house is worthy of it, peace will come and remain in it. If it is not worthy of it, your peace will come back to you. So remember to be peaceful yourselves in order to have God as your Father. It may be, nay, it will certainly happen, that a town or house will not receive you or will not listen to your words, but will drive you away or ridicule you. In such cases, you must be more than ever peaceful, humble and mild, having acquired such virtues as a habit of life. Otherwise, you will be overwhelmed by anger and you will commit sin, scandalizing and increasing the incredulity of those you wish to convert. If instead you peacefully accept the insult of being derided and driven away, you will convert people by means of the most beautiful sermon, the silent sermon of true virtue. One day you will find on your way the enemies of today, and they will say to you, "We've been looking for you because your behaviour has convinced us of the truth that you announce. Please forgive us and accept us as your disciples, because we did not know who you were. But now we know that you are saints. And if you are saints, you must be the messengers of a saint, and we now believe in him." When leaving the town or the house where you were not received, shake the dust off your sandals, so that the pride and harshness of that place may not stick even to the soles of your sandals. I solemnly tell you, on doomsday, Sodom and Gomorrah will be dealt with less severely. Jesus comments on the last verse of today's gospel, "And they anointed the sick with oil and healed them." In empirical medicine at that time, oil played a leading role. But it was not in the oil that the power of healing lay for the sick, upon whom my apostles carried out the anointings. As always, a visible sign was needed for human dullness. Who could have thought that a touch of the hand could heal, the hand of those poor men who were my apostles and who were known to be fishermen and common people? If they had thought so, they would have been told, "You heal by the power of the prince of the demons," as they said to me. And they would have been accused of being possessed by devils. That was not to be. So I therefore gave them the human means to be believed by the empirical medicine, the oil, if nothing else. But the power was God, who infused power into them to make them instruments of conversion for my doctrine.